Anina Manadena Kirtaniya Sadahari Hare Nama Hare Nama Hare Nama Ivakivalam Kalo Nastyeva 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 Gatir Anyata. So tonight we're going to finish this part two of our Bhagavad Gita seminar. We started the Bhagavad Gita seminar with the introduction to Bhagavad Gita. Then phase two were these summaries. So tonight we will finish these summaries. So we left off at where the reference is 1335. So look for that reference which says 13.35. That's where we left off. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama. Did we all find that? Very good. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. From the 7th chapter to the end of the 12th chapter, Sri Krishna in detail reveals the absolute truth, the supreme personality of Godhead. So I have a question now. Who can give me the three features of the absolute truth? No. What is it? What? What's the first one? Brahman? Paramatma? So, question now. If I realize Brahman, does that mean I realize Paramatma and Bhagavan? If I realize Paramatma, does that mean I realize Brahman? Yes. If I realize Bhagavan, do I also realize Brahman and Paramatma?
Yes.
Very good. So as you go up, you get the preceding realization. Very good. Now the Lord Himself is further enlightening Arjuna. If one understands this chapter through the process of philosophical speculation, he will come to an understanding of devotional service. In the 13th chapter, it was clearly explained that by humbly developing knowledge, one may possibly be freed from material entanglement. It has also been explained that it is due to association with the modes of nature that the living entity is entangled in this material world. So, I have a question. We just read, due to association with the modes of nature. So, how many modes of nature?
Three.
Namely? Okay, so, Prabhupada just said, due to association with the modes of material nature, the living entity is entangled. So, based on this sentence, how would you describe somebody who is not entangled? Based on this sentence. It's very simple. Yes, he's not associating with the modes of nature. How can you not associate with the modes of nature? There's only one answer. What's the only way by which you cannot associate with the modes of nature? Devotional service. What kind of devotional service? Now what? We know nine kinds. No. Pure? How much?
100%.
How often?
24/7.
Ah, 24/7. That's it. 24/7. No stops. That's how you transcend. That it's continuous. No stopping. No vacation from devotional service. Good. Now in this chapter, the Supreme Personality explains what those modes of nature are, how they act, how they bind, and how they give liberation. Question: is there any mode of material nature which is not binding? Huh? No. So does that mean a Brahman in the mode of goodness is still bound by the material nature? Yes. My students have learned their lessons well. Very good. So being a Brahman is not enough. You must be go. What's higher than a Brahman? Vaishnav. Yes. Vaishnav is higher. Very good. Yes. Yes. Exactly. Because what is a Vaishnava? Someone who does devotional service. As long as you do devotional service, you're above the modes. You stop doing devotional service, you're back down again. So that's our position. We're up, we're down. We're up, we're down. But when you are pure devotee, always up. Well, that's Param Vaishnava. There are different grades of Vaishnava. How many different kinds of Vaishnavas? Three. What are they called? Yes. Kanishta, Madhyam, Uttam. So the Uttama is the one that has transcended completely. Let's continue. The knowledge explained in this chapter is proclaimed by the Supreme Lord to be superior to knowledge given so far in other chapters. Now, I need someone to have a Bhagavad Gita. So, Mahatma, you're with the microphone. Get your Bhagavad Gita. Mahatma G, you have to do service today for me. Okay? So, Mahatma G, read to us in the microphone the translation to chapter 14, verse 1. Please, Prabhu, in the microphone. Chapter 14, verse 1. If you would be so kind.
The Supreme Personality of God has said, again I shall declare to you this supreme wisdom, the base of all knowledge, and knowing which all the sages have attained the supreme perfection.
Very good. Let's continue. The Lord now explains, by understanding this knowledge, various great sages attained perfection and transferred to the spiritual world. What do we call in general the spiritual world? We call it Vaikuntha. Very good. And the topmost planet of Vaikuntha?
Goloka.
Yes, or Krishna Loka, Goloka Vrindavan. Good. The Lord now explains the same knowledge in a better way. This knowledge is far, far superior to all other processes of knowledge thus far explained. And knowing this, many attained perfection. Thus, it is expected that one who understands this 14th chapter will attain perfection. Let's go on to the next little summary. After the discussion of the importance of bhakti yoga, one may question, what about the Vedas? It is explained in this chapter. So now we're on chapter 15, actually. That was the only summary Prabhupada gave in chapter 14. So now we're on 15. After the discussion of the importance of bhakti yoga, what chapter was bhakti yoga?
12.
Very good. One may question, what about the Vedas? It is also explained in this chapter that the purpose of Vedic study is to understand Krishna. Therefore, one who is in Krishna consciousness, who is engaged in devotional service, already knows the Vedas. And there's my favorite verse from the Upanishads, that if you can say two syllables, ha, re, you've studied all the Vedas. Everybody say,
ha,
there you go. You have studied the Vedas. Just by uttering, what are those two syllables?
Ha,
Yeah, not just her, and not just Re. Right, Krishna Kumar? Not just Ra. Hari. You need both syllables. Hari. Everybody.
Hari.
In previous chapters, it has been explained that there are many processes by which to get out of the material entanglement. And up to the 13th chapter, we have seen that devotional service to the Supreme Lord is the best way. So, Mahatma, go to 1154 and read the translation. 1154. Yes.
My dear Arjun, only by undivided devotional service can I be understood as I am, understanding before you, and can thus be seen directly. Only in this way can you enter into the mysteries of my understanding.
So what kind of devotional service? No, that's not what it said. Undivided, which is what we said before. Undivided means continuous. So, this is, I mentioned before, there's at least three places where this same thing. In chapter 8, Krishna said only by devotional service. Here in chapter, and when we get to chapter 18, the same thing. Only by devotional service. Not karma, not jnana, and not other yoga. Has to be devotional service yoga. And here he qualifies it undivided. So to see God is not so easy, is it? No. Because what does Maya do? Maya distracts us. That's what Maya does. Distracts us from devotional service. We get sidetracked. Then something happens. Oh, Krishna, Krishna, help me. Oh, then we're back. Right? So that's constantly going on. We're doing, then Maya says, no, come on, let's go. So we leave, then, oh, we come back. All right, let's continue. Now, the basic principle of devotional service is detachment from material activities and attachment to the transcendental service of the Lord. That's important. Both have to be there. You've heard me say many times, two-sided coin. So the first part is detachment from material activities and also attachment to transcendental service. Both have to be there. The process of breaking attachment to the material world is discussed in the beginning of this chapter. Now, of course, it's chapter 15. The root of this material existence grows upward. That means that it begins from the total material substance, from the topmost planet of the universe. From there, the whole universe is expanded with so many branches representing the various planetary systems. The fruits represent the results of the living entity's activities, namely religion, economic development, sense gratification, and liberation. Let's continue. As long as a living entity is in this dark material world, he is in conditioned life. But as soon as he reaches the spiritual sky, by cutting through the false, perverted tree of this material world, he becomes liberated. Then there is no chance of his coming back here. In his conditional life, the living entity considers himself to be the lord of this material world. But in his liberated state, he enters into the spiritual kingdom and becomes an associate of the Supreme Lord. There he enjoys eternal bliss, eternal life, and full knowledge. One should be captivated by this information. He should desire to transfer himself to that eternal world and extricate himself from this false reflection of reality. For one who is too much attached to this material world, it is very difficult to cut that attachment. But if he takes to Krishna consciousness, there is a chance of gradually becoming detached. And in Prabhupada's case, Prabhupada mentioned it, that he was reluctant to completely surrender, and he was still doing business. So what did Krishna do? Burn down the factory. Then Prabhupada remembered, Krishna has done this to break my attachment. Because there's a statement by Krishna in the 10th canto, where Krishna tells Yudhisthira, Harishye tad dhanang shanai. My first installment of mercy, I give you a Mercedes, I give you a big 10-story apartment house, I make you President of the United States. What is his first installment of mercy? He takes everything away. And that's why people don't want to chant Hare Krishna. Because they think, if I start chanting, Krishna's going to take it. No. So therefore, in the kirtan, especially they may chant Govinda or Ram, but they won't say Krishna. I've seen it hundreds of times. They'll sing Govinda Jai Jai Gopal. They'll sing, but if Krishna, because they're afraid of that name Krishna, that Krishna is going to come and take away everything. No! Can't take. Huh? He takes away your attachments. Takes away your attachments. Yes. Is that in that verse? Okay. Hare Krishna. One has to associate himself with devotees, those who are in Krishna consciousness. One should search out a society dedicated to Krishna consciousness and learn how to discharge devotional service. In this way, he can cut off his attachment to the material world. One cannot become detached from the attraction of the material world simply by dressing himself in saffron cloth. He must become attached to the devotional service of the Lord. Therefore, one should take it very seriously that devotional service, as described in the 12th chapter, is the only way to get out of this false representation of the real tree. In chapter 14, the contamination of all kinds of processes by material nature is described. Only devotional service is described as purely transcendental. My dear assistant Mahatma, please read 14:26. Translate. No, you can do the Sanskrit too. 14:26. Please.
With the Sanskrit too?
Sanskrit, yes.
Mamcha yo abhicharyena bhakti yogena sevate sagunan samati tyaitan brahma bhuyaya kalpate.
Translation, please.
One who engages in full devotional service, unfailing in all circumstances, at once transcends the most of material nature and thus comes to the level of Brahman.
Very good. Let's continue. Devotional service is a process of spiritual understanding. Wherever devotional service exists, the material contamination cannot exist. That reminds us of that statement from Chaitanya Charitamrita. Krishna is light and nescience is darkness. Where there is light, can there be darkness? Therefore, where there is Krishna, there cannot be ignorance. That's the idea. What's that? Very good. Excellent. Good. Devotional service to the Lord and the Lord Himself are one and the same because they are spiritual. Devotional service takes place within the internal energy of the Supreme Lord. The Lord is said to be the sun, and ignorance is called darkness. When the sun is present, there is no question of darkness. Therefore, whenever devotional service is present, under the proper guidance of a bona fide spiritual master, there is no question of ignorance. Everyone must take to this consciousness of Krishna and engage in devotional service to become intelligent and purified. Unless one comes to this position of understanding Krishna and engages in devotional service, however intelligent he may be in the estimation of some common man, he is not perfectly intelligent. Krishna Kumar Das and I were discussing this murder-suicide that just happened in UCLA. So Krishna Kumar was telling me that the man was very, very intelligent. So how come he did this? Because he's not intelligent. Intelligent would mean he did devotional service. That's real intelligent. And then I gave the example. Do you think Ravana was stupid or intelligent? Materially. He had to be. He's running a whole kingdom. He can't be stupid like Trump. He had to be very expert. Hiranyakashipu. He's running the whole universe. He can't be stupid, man. But that intelligence is materialistic. Prahlad was only a 5-year-old boy, but he had spiritual intelligence. And that spiritual intelligence, that's far greater than material intelligence. What? Huh? As you like. He doesn't interfere with free... Wait. Krishna doesn't interfere with free will. Krishna was giving intelligence to Ravana, yes or no? Krishna was giving intelligence to Kamsa, yes or no? So Krishna doesn't interfere with free will. Krishna plays both sides. You want to be a demon? Krishna says, okay, I'll help you to become a demon. You want to be a devotee? Krishna will help you to become a devotee. So Krishna was telling Prahlad how to do everything. Prabhupada gives the story. A man is robbing somebody's house. So Krishna is telling the robber, go now. It's dark. Go now. But Krishna is also telling the policeman, go capture the robber. You understand? Krishna is helping everybody. He's neutral. Just like there's this expression that the desire tree will give you what you ask. The desire tree doesn't interfere with what you ask. So if you ask for the wrong thing, that's the desire tree's fault? No. Same way, if the sun is shining, I can either go outside or stay in the basement. That sun has nothing to do with it. If I go out in the sun, I get the vitamin D. If I stay in the house, no sun, no suntan. So you have your free will, and Krishna will supply you the intelligence according to what you want. Oh, is that what you want? Okay. I'll give you. Okay, let's continue. While one is performing devotional service in the association of pure devotees in full Krishna consciousness, there are certain things which require to be... this is very important paragraph. Extremely important. Let's start off. This paragraph is so... I love this paragraph. While one is performing devotional service in the association of pure devotees in full Krishna consciousness, there are certain things which require to be vanquished altogether. The most important thing one has to surmount is the weakness of the heart. The first fall down is caused by the desire to lord it over material nature. There you go. There is the original sin. I want to lord it over the material nature. Thus, one gives up the transcendental loving service of the Supreme Lord. The second weakness of the heart is that as one increases the propensity to lord it over material nature, he becomes attached to matter and the possession of matter. So this second part answers other questions. You know people, they'll tell you, I'll do that when I get older. But what's happened all these years? He's become attached to matter and the possession of matter, and now in the late age to do devotional service, it's too difficult because he's already become attached. So therefore, Prahlad says, at what age should you train someone to start Krishna consciousness? Right. So that they don't become too attached to matter. Otherwise, you get it, it says right here, you become to matter and the possession of matter. Now you're going to all of a sudden give it up when you get old? Mm-mm. No, you're now addicted. You're addicted now to material energy. You're addicted to enjoying. You're addicted to being big, big man in society. You know what? Right? Dhritarashtra. Another good example. He was attached to being the king. Should he have been the king? No, he should never have been the king. But they allowed him. Right? And as time went on, he didn't want to give up being king. That was the problem with Dhritarashtra. He became too attached. And even people were pointing out, shouldn't do this, Dhritarashtra. You shouldn't do this. What can I do? He's too attached to who? Duryodhana, his first son. He's too attached to being the king. Because when you're the king, you get all kinds of attention and all kinds, everybody's serving you. You become attached to it. Who was the one who finally broke his attachment? Vidura. But that was after losing how many sons? 100. Yes. It took that much. And he was warned. He was warned by Vidura. He was warned by Bhishma. He was warned by so many people. Vyasadeva, his father, even came and warned him more than once. You're going to lose everything. Don't fight Krishna and the Pandavas. You're going to lose everything. No. He's too attached. And therefore, the battle of Kurukshetra came. Everything gone. So this is very important. You become attached to matter and the possession of matter. Yes?
If the kids does a lot of a bad thing, sometimes we have to adjust with that, right?
Yes. When did Yashoda? Did
you? Huh? When we can give up the kids to do like a testament from them?
When?
What age?
At what age? Well, Prabhupada says from 5 to 16, very strict. At 16, now you become friends. Boys, boys. You understand? How old's your son? 10. So you have 6 more years? Be strict. Don't spoil. Understand? That. When he hits 16, now you become like friend. But still, you have to give guidance. Not that, oh, you're 16, do whatever you want. No. Okay? You will have to always be his spiritual guide. You have to get, is he going to become a sannyasi?
Maybe.
Huh? He wants to be? He wants to be a scientist? That's okay. Your Gurudev was a scientist. He was a devotee scientist. Right, so you still have to, not that you just, okay, goodbye, you're on your, no. No. You still have to do your duty. Okay? Doesn't mean, there are people misunderstand this. It doesn't mean that, no more. No, you still, detachment means I must do everything I must do, but in the end, I have to leave it to Krishna. But throughout his whole life, you still have to be there for him. Are you going to take sannyas? Huh? I'm asking you.
You never know.
No, you.
There's certain things that you never know. My desire will come up.
All right. Well, until you take sannyas, you have to take care of him. But don't be attached that he's mine. He's Krishna's. In your care, I have to train him because he belongs to Krishna, not that he's mine. Okay? That's the attachment. Mine. No, he's Krishna's. Now Krishna has given him to you for service. Okay? That'll never stop until you take sannyas. Okay? Is that all right, Mataji? Okay. The problems of material existence are due to these weaknesses of the heart. In this chapter, the first 5 verses describe the process of freeing oneself from these weaknesses of the heart, and the rest of the chapter, from the 6th verse through the end, discusses Purushottama Yoga. Meenakshi, what does the, can you break up the word Purushottama? What are the 2 words of Purushottama? Meenakshi. He's the what? Supreme. Very good. So now we finished chapter 15.
Okay, so question.
In the mic, please.
It is said that Krishna is the only the man.
That is correct.
But how come it is from among the all the men?
Okay. I like this question.
Thank you.
So, no, does it have to be on? Okay. Can you guys read? Okay. All right. So, technically, yes, Krishna is the only Purusha. Vishnu Tattva is the only Purusha. Purusha means enjoyer. That's the real definition of Purusha. Enjoyer. Male. Everything else is Prakriti. Energy. Female. Go to chapter 7, verse 5 to prove my point. You've heard me say this many times. We are all female. Yes. So don't get puffed up, men, because you're actually female. What does 7:5 say?
7 and 5?
Yes.
So besides these.
Okay, so these means the eight separated material energies in the previous verse: earth, water, fire, air, sky, intelligence, mind, false ego. Those are the eight separated material energies, also female. Then what does it say? Then?
Almighty, Arjun, there is another superior energy of mind.
Superior what?
Super energy of mind.
Female. Yes?
Which comprises the living entity.
Ah.
Who are exploiting the resources of this material, inferior nature.
So therefore the living entities are energy, therefore the soul is female, feminine, to be enjoyed by the Purusha, Vishnu, Tattva. Okay? That's the understanding. Now, you will see throughout Prabhupada's explanation and in the Vedas, sometimes the living entity is described as Purusha. Sometimes. Why? Even though the living entity I just proved is what? Because it's energy, okay? But because the living entity in the material world is trying to imitate, who is he trying to imitate?
The Lord Krishna.
Krishna. Therefore, sometimes the Vedas calls the living entity Purusha because he's trying to imitate the real Purusha, Krishna. But actually, he's Prakriti, feminine. But 9 times out of 10, the living entity is trying to be the Purusha. Yes. What, you're going to disagree with Krishna? What did he just say? You just read the verse. Energy. We just read the verse. So your thinking can't be right. Otherwise you're contradicting Krishna. No, Krishna, I'm not energy. The soul has have a gender. It's female. It's energy. Yes, and energy is feminine. You don't agree? What are you saying? No. Okay.
No.
What?
Because of we have a body of a man. That's why we try to... We try to. But in like a feminine, they don't think that. Is it true?
Whether you have a man body or a woman body in the material world, you're both trying to be Purusha. You're both trying to be the enjoyer. Both are trying to be the enjoyer. Okay? They just do it in a different way. Correct. That's... Yeah. I don't even go by what Krishna said. Krishna, you're wrong. I'm that energy. I'm part and parcel of you. Therefore, it must be Purusha.
And in one sense, when you say part and parcel, it doesn't mean Krishna is divided into us.
No.
Krishna
expands himself. We are the separated energetic expansions of Krishna. Yes. Okay? I can't contradict Krishna. That's why I read that verse. It says energy. And in the Sanskrit language, Prakriti is feminine. Purusha is masculine. Because there's that famous story, maybe Meenakshi knows, when Rupa Goswami was in Vrindavan, he was famous. Mirabai wanted to meet Rupa Goswami. Rupa Goswami said, "No, it is not proper for a woman to see a man." And what did Mirabai say? "I only know one man in Vrindavan." So she defeated him from that higher understanding of the philosophy. Even though Mirabai was woman, she actually knew, "You're not a man. There's only one male person, especially in Vrindavan, Krishna." So she also had this higher vision. In this Vedic literatures, many times it depends on the context and the particular angle of vision. Okay? Yes, we have all of Krishna's properties minutely, but that doesn't make us Purusha, because that is the next question. Why does the living entity exist? Who can answer this question? Why does the living entity exist? Exactly. The living entity exists for Krishna's enjoyment. So that is another way to reiterate what Krishna said in Bhagavad Gita 7.5. We are here, the reason we exist is to give Krishna pleasure. He expands himself to increase his pleasure potency.
So it says like in Golok Dham also, like Nanda Maharaj, he also exists just for the service to the Lord.
That is correct. So even Balaram sees himself as Krishna's servant. Even Balaram. And he'll even say that once or twice in the 10th canto in Krishna book. Because why didn't Balaram take the side of the Kauravas in the battle? Huh? Yes, he didn't want to go against Krishna. And he didn't want to go on the... So he didn't want to fight on the side of the Pandavas because it would affect the Kauravas. But because they asked Balaram, Duryodhana, they asked him, "You come fight on our side." Balaram said, "No, I'm not independent of Krishna." So what did Balaram decide to do? He took neither side. He went on pilgrimage. And when did he come back? What day? When Bhim and Duryodhana were fighting. That's the day he returned. And he told them both, "Why are you guys fighting? Duryodhana, you are more expert with the club. And Bhima, you're stronger. You're not going to win." And that's why, what did Krishna have to do? Huh?
Cheating.
What did Krishna do? Because Balaram is right. They were equally matched. Duryodhana was better with the club, but Bhima was stronger. So it was outweighing. So what did Krishna have to do? Cheat.
Cheat, yeah, I told cheat.
How did he cheat?
Break the tie.
Exactly. And what else did Krishna do to ensure? Krishna also did something else to make sure that it would come out. Remember?
Duryodhana went to the mother to take the...
His mother told him, "Come to see me naked." And she was going to take off the blindfold and transfer all those years of penance and give it. And again, who intervened? Krishna. By saying, "You can't go like that in front of your mother." But his mother had told him, You come naked, but Krishna stopped him. See how Krishna? Tricky. Yes.
Is there another name of the Krishna? Krishna's another name of the cheating?
I don't know. There,
we have a lot of Ransor and a lot of the Makhan.
Yes. So, Krishna intervened. Yes. He didn't fight, but he did have his hand once or twice in the... Right? All right. Everybody chant the Maha Mantra.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Let's continue. In the beginning of the 15th chapter, the banyan tree of this material world was explained. The extra roots coming out of it were compared to the activities of the living entities, some auspicious, some inauspicious. In the 9th chapter also, the devas or godly and the asuras, the ungodly or demons, were explained. Now, according to Vedic rites, activities in the mode of goodness are considered auspicious for progress on the path of liberation. And such activities are known as daivi prakriti, transcendental by nature. Those who are situated in the transcendental nature make progress on the path of liberation. For those who are acting in the modes of passion and ignorance, on the other hand, there is no possibility of liberation. Either they will have to remain in this material world as human beings, or they will descend among the species of animals or even lower life forms. In this 16th chapter, the Lord explains both the transcendental nature and its attendant qualities, and the demoniac nature and its qualities. He also explains the advantages and disadvantages of these qualities. So now we're in chapter 16. In the conditional state, people are attracted to worshiping demigods, ghosts, or yakshas like Kuvera. The mode of goodness is better than the modes of passion and ignorance, but one who takes directly to Krishna consciousness is transcendental to all three modes of material nature. Did we not say that previously? Although there is a process of gradual elevation, if one, by the association of pure devotees, takes directly to Krishna consciousness, that is the best way, and that is recommended in this chapter. To achieve success in this way, one must first find the proper spiritual master and receive training under his direction. So I don't know how many times Prabhupada, just in these summaries, has said, you have to accept a spiritual master. There's been so many, repeatedly he's hammering that point. Got to have, in other words, you can't just read the Vedic literatures on your own. That's only going to get you so far. You have to have a spiritual master and receive training under his direction. Then one can achieve faith in the Supreme. When that faith matures, in course of time, it is called love of God. This love is the ultimate goal of the living entities. One should therefore take to Krishna consciousness directly. That is the message of this 17th chapter. So now, the final summaries. Very good. We're going to finish. Everybody chant Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama.
May Krishna bless you. Come and get blessings. Good boy. So let's go. Actually, the Bhagavad Gita is finished in 17 chapters. The 18th chapter is a supplementary summarization of the topics before. What is the other chapter that is a summary? Chapter 2. Good. In every chapter of Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna stresses that devotional service unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead is the ultimate goal of life. This same point is summarized in the 18th chapter as the most confidential path of knowledge. In the first six chapters, stress was given to devotional service. Yoginam api sarvesham. Of all yogis or transcendentalists, one who always thinks of me within himself is best. In the next six chapters, pure devotional service and its nature and activity were discussed. In the third six chapters, knowledge, renunciation, the activities of material nature and transcendental nature and devotional service were described. It was concluded that all acts should be performed in conjunction with the Supreme Lord, represented by the words Om Tat Sat. So there, what Prabhupada is referring to was at the end of chapter 17. This phrase Om Tat Sat is there at the final portion of chapter 17, which indicate Vishnu, the Supreme Person. The third part of Bhagavad Gita has shown that devotional service and nothing else is the ultimate purpose of life. This has been established by citing past acharyas and the Brahma Sutra or the Vedanta Sutra. Certain impersonalists consider themselves to have a monopoly on the knowledge of Vedanta Sutra. There, Prabhupada is referring to the Mayavadis headed by Shankaracharya. That's where they come from. But actually, the Vedanta Sutra is meant for understanding devotional service, for the Lord Himself is the composer of the Vedanta Sutra, and He is its knower. Assistant, Mahatma Das, my assistant. Chapter 15, verse 15. Please read the translation, please.
15:15.
Yes.
Sanskrit?
English.
I am seated in everyone's heart, and from me come remembrance, knowledge, and forgetfulness.
Did we not discuss that already earlier today? Yes? Continue.
By all the Vedas, I am to be known.
We also mentioned that. Go ahead.
Indeed, I am the compiler of Vedanta.
So in what form did Krishna compile Vedanta? Veda Vyas, yes. Go on.
And I am the knower of the Vedas.
Very good. Thank you. Let us continue. For the Lord Himself is the composer of the Vedanta Sutra, and He is its knower. That is described in the 15th chapter. In every scripture, every Veda, devotional service is the objective. That is explained in Bhagavad Gita. There is a statement by Lord Chaitanya. He says that actually the Vedas are only teaching three things: Sambandha, Abhideya, Prayojana. Sambandha means, what is my eternal relationship of service to Krishna? Abhideya means acting in that understanding that I'm the eternal servant of Krishna. And Prayojana, the ultimate fruit of devotional service, which is getting rich. No? Oh. Ah. I wanted to see who was paying attention. Very good, students. You've passed your examination. Very good. Excellent. As in the second chapter, a synopsis of the whole subject matter was described. In the 18th chapter also, the summary of all instruction is given. The purpose of life is indicated to be renunciation and attainment of the transcendental position above the three material modes of nature. Arjuna wants to clarify the two distinct subject matters of Bhagavad Gita, namely renunciation, tyaga, and the renounced order of life, sannyas. Thus, he is asking the meaning of these two words. In the 14th chapter, the three divisions of the modes of material nature were elaborately described. In that chapter, it was said that the mode of goodness is illuminating, the mode of passion materialistic, and the mode of ignorance conducive to laziness and indolence. All the modes of material nature are binding. Again, all the modes of material nature are binding. That includes the mode of goodness. They are not sources of liberation. Even in the mode of goodness, one is conditioned. There it is. In the 17th chapter, the different types of worship by different types of men in different modes of material nature were described. In this verse, the Lord says that he wishes to speak about the different types of knowledge, workers, and work itself according to the three material modes. Because chapter 14 is where Krishna introduces the modes of nature. There's more in chapter 17 and the first half of chapter 18. All of that deals with the modes of nature. The Bhagavad Gita, okay, so now the finishing up. These are the final summaries. This is really, really sweet. The Bhagavad Gita began with an inquiry of Dhritarashtra. What was that inquiry? Yes. What's happening on the battlefield? How are my sons doing? Good. He was hopeful of the victory of his sons, assisted by great warriors like Bhishma, Drona, and Karna. He was hopeful that the victory would be on his side. But after describing the scene on the battlefield, Sanjaya told the king, "You are thinking of victory, but my opinion is that where Krishna and Arjuna are present, there will be all good fortune." He directly confirmed that Dhritarashtra could not expect victory for his side. Victory was certain for the side of Arjuna, because Krishna was there. Krishna's acceptance of the post of charioteer for Arjuna was an exhibition of another opulence. Krishna is full of all opulences, and renunciation is one of them. There are many instances of such renunciation, for Krishna is the master of renunciation. Who can give me another instance of Krishna's renunciation? Rasalila. Explain. Yes. Very good. What is another incident of Krishna's renunciation? You said it before. Ranchor. What did Krishna do?
He ran away from the enemy.
Was he afraid?
No.
What was his real intention?
Yes.
He wanted Rukmini. That's why he left the battlefield. How many times had Krishna already defeated Jarasandha? 17 times. It's not that he was afraid. My God. Okay, good. And there are other examples. Just like Krishna, I just read the story this week, the Syamantaka jewel. Krishna was accused by Satyabhama's father, Satrajit, that Krishna stole the jewel. But actually the jewel was stolen by Satrajit's brother Prasena. Prasena was killed by a lion. Who killed the lion? Jambavan, what did he do with the jewel?
Give it to Jambavati.
No, he gave it to his son. Why? Huh? Yeah, but why didn't he? It's a jewel. This jewel was producing gold. Why did Jambavan give it to his son? Huh? Right. Why would Jambavan not be attached to the gold? Ha! Devotee is not interested in gold. Devotee is interested in God. So yes, he gave the... wasn't interested. He had a higher taste. So when Krishna entered the cave, he was going to take it from the son, and the nurse screamed, "Ah!" Jambavan came out angry. He did not recognize Krishna because he was angry. Prabhupada makes that point. Because he was angry, he could not recognize. So how many days they fought? 28 days. Jambavan reasoned, "Wait a second. I'm the strongest person. Nobody can fight me for 28 days. He must be my Lord Ram. Only Lord Ram can defeat me." So by his service, by his fighting, he came to realize this must be my Lord Ram. And yes. So Jambavan gave him the jewel and his daughter. And they were married in the cave. Like that. Now when Krishna returned to Dwaraka, he showed the jewel to Satrajit, and Krishna gave the jewel back to Satrajit. Krishna was also detached. He didn't have any. Actually, when Satrajit first brought the jewel, Krishna told Satrajit, "You should give it to Ugrasena," because the culture was whatever is the best should be given to the king. But Satrajit was attached. Why? Gold. And also he was strutting around town with the jewel. And when he would come, the jewel was bright like the sun. So he was big man on campus coming into Dwaraka. "See me with my jewel." And he was worshiping it on an altar, getting lots of gold. Boy, there would be people right now very much interested in that, wouldn't they? Somebody in the White House might want that jewel. Or any government. Wow, if it's producing gold every day. But you would have to have the right